So we are on the top of Zion Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan Yishum Rabbi Yosi." Minayin shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Mispalo. From where do we know that Hashem davens? Shenemar v'havi Yosim al Har Kodesh v'sim Achtim beveis Tfilasi. Tfilasam lo ne'amar el Tfilasi. Mikan shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Mispalo. Because the pasuk says in Yeshayahu that it says beveis Tfilasi in my prayer house. The implication is that Hashem Himself davens, as opposed to saying beveis Tfilasam in their prayer house. So my mitzali, what exactly does Hashem daven? So Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav, he ratzo mi lefanai sheyichbushu rachamayas kasai v'golu rachamayam midosai v'es nahigim banai b'midas rachamim v'ekanes lehem lefnim yishur asadim. We say a variation of this in the morning in Karbanos, for those who say Karbanos, right? So there's a variation that we say, but we say it as referring to Hashem. Here Hashem is talking about Himself, where He basically, you know, is davening, so to speak, that His rachamim should overpower His din in the way that He relates to us. What? Yeah, correct. So the Gemara says, this is the famous Gemara. This was Gemara was made into a song. Tani Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Pamachas nichnasi lahachter ktoras lefnai velefnim. Right, one time he was the Kohen Gadol. He was going to offer the ktoras and the Kodesh Kadashim. Ve'ra'isi achterik el kashem tzvakos hu yoshev al kisei ram venisa. Now, most Mefarshim explain that this Malach was a representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look throughout Chumash, you find a lot of examples of this, where Malachim are actually embodiments of Hashem. And probably the most famous example is by the Akedah, because the Malach tells Avraham, don't kill Yitzchak. And the question is, what do you mean? But Hashem told you to kill Yitzchak. So why listen to the Malach? The answer is because the Malach is really an embodiment of Hashem. So that's what the Gemara is assuming here also. What?
I've asked multiple rabbis what happened switched from Hashem to a Malach in the Akedah. It's the first time I heard an answer.
That's probably the simple. Yeah.
As opposed to like a Shaliach.
No. You can say it however you want. I don't know what either term means more than the other. Meaning, you can call him a Shaliach of Hashem. You can call him an embodiment of Hashem. But as we'll see, as this Gemara goes on, it's pretty clear that he's talking directly to Hashem in this instance. You'll see. So he says again. So he sees. Achterikel ka Hashem tzvakos. So we're just going to call him the Malach, who is the embodiment of Hashem, sitting on this throne. Va'amar li Yishmael b'ni Barcheni, and he asks, you know, Yishmael Kohen Gadol for a bracha. And Amarti lo, he says, Yehi ratzo milfanecha shiyichvashu rachamecha eskascha v'yigolu rachamecha al midosecha v'sis nahegim banecha b'midas harachamim v'sikanes lehem lifnim yishuras hadin. And that, again, that's basically the same material that Hashem says. V'nanea li b'rosho, so Hashem nodded his head, meaning he affirmed the bracha. V'kamash malon shelo tehe bircha sejo kala be'enacha. You see from this Gemara, not to take the bracha of a hedgeo, even though he was a Kohen Gadol, he wasn't exactly, you know, like a regular guy, but, you know, compared to Hashem, he wasn't, you know, he was a regular person, so even him, you shouldn't take his bracha lightly. From where do we know? Don't try to calm a person down when he's angry. In Parshas Kisisa, after the Chet HaIgel, Hashem says, my anger is, you know, flaring up. Wait for my anger to subside, and then you can talk to me, and we can try to, you know, save Klal Yisrael. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, hamtein li ad sheyavru panim shel zam ve'aniach lecha. Wait until my anger abates after, you know, in the post Chet HaIgel, and then we can, you know, and then we can come to some kind of a deal. So asks the Gemara, mi ikar rizcha kami dekut shabrichu. Does Hashem really get angry? Mar says, in, he does. The Sanya Pasuk says in Tehillim, bekel zo'ein b'chol yom. But the God, you know, his anger flares up every day. V'chama zamo, for how long does the anger last? Rega, for a moment. V'chama rega. Echad mechamishas ribo ushmona salafim ushmona meos ushmona ushmona b'sha v'zohi rega. It's one out of 5,888th of an hour, and the Gemara says that's called a rega. The ein kol bria yechola lechavin osasha chutz mi bilam harasha. The chsiv vei v'yodei adas elyon. Bilam was the only person who knew precisely when that moment was. So the Gemara asks, hashda das behemto lo havayada. Das Elyon Haviyada. Bilam couldn't even figure out what his donkey knew. We know the story that, you know, he couldn't see the Malach on the road when his donkey could. How could he possibly know when Hashem got angry if he didn't even know what his donkey was able to see? The Gemara says, you're right. Elam Alamin, Shehaya Yodea Lechavin Osa Shah, Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Kawis. But he was somehow able to precisely figure out, based on some cheshbonos, precisely the moment of day when Hashem got angry. V'hainu de'amar luhu Navi li Yisrael. This happens to be the Haftorah that we read on Parshas Balak. Right? This is what the Navi Micha says to Klal Yisrael. Ami zecharna mayo atz Balak melech Moav. Right? In other words, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, remember that which I did during the days of Balak and Bilam. My leman das tzidkos Hashem. That's the continuation of that pasuk. It says, in order to know the righteousness of Hashem. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. De'u kama tzidkos asisi imachem. Look how many good things I've done for you. Shelo ka'asti b'mei belam harasha. Never once did I get angry during the days of Vilam. She'el male ka'asti. For if I got angry, lo nishdayer misoneim shel Yisrael. Sorry to fall it. Not a single Jew would survive. Whenever you see the phrase, so nehem shel Yisrael, it's always a euphemism, refers to Klal Yisrael. So in other words, he says, had I gotten angry, Bilam would have been able to figure out when that moment was. He would have cursed us, and then we would have been completely obliterated. V'hainu deka'amar le'bilam levalak, ma'ekov lo kabokel, u'ma'ezom lo za'am Hashem. Malami chikol osen hayamim lozan. So you see, right, Bilam says to Balak, what do you want from me? God has never gotten angry during this entire time. V'chama za'amo rega. We said before that the length of time that God gets angry is a rega. V'chama rega. Amar Rabbi Yavin v'yitema Rabbi Avina rega kimemri. The amount of time it takes to say the word rega. Again, before in the Gemara we said it was 1 out of 5,880th of an hour, which now the Gemara is saying is the amount of time it takes to say the word rega. So the Gemara asks, Uminalan de rega rasach. From where do we know that Hashem only gets angry for a moment? Shene Emar, the pasuk says, ki rega biapo chayim birtsono. Hashem's anger is only for a rega. V'iba yaseva mehacha, or there's another pasuk from Yeshayahu, chavi kemat rega ad yavor zam. Wait a moment until Hashem's anger subsides. Then the Gemara asks, the emas rasach, at what point of the day does Hashem get angry? Amar Abaye, bahanach tlas shoy kamaisa, during the first 3 hours, ki chivra karbalta de sarnagola, v'koy achar kara, when the crest on the top of the rooster's head turns white and it stands on 1 foot. So asks the Gemara, kol shayta v'shayta nami koy halchi. Apparently roosters always stand on 1 foot. So the Gemara says, no, kol shayta ispe shuryake sumke. Be'ahi shayta lispe shuryake sumke. The rest of the day, the crest on the rooster's head doesn't have this reddish tinge to it. But during the moment, I'm sorry, it has the reddish tinge to it. But during the moment where Hashem gets angry, the reddish tinge goes away. So you're somehow able to tell at the exact moment when Hashem gets angry. Tosos has an interesting question here. Tosos says, if Hashem only gets angry for a brief moment every day, what could Bilam have possibly said to curse Bnei Yisrael in the span of a half a second? Like what's he going to say? So Tosos gives two answers. One, he says, he could say the word kalim. Kalim means destroy them, which is a relatively short word. In fact, some of Farshim point out that in Parshas Balak, the pasuk says, usruas melech bo. The word melech and kalim are the same letters. The other answer Tosos says is that as long as he started the curse in that time frame, even if it took him another, 5 or 10 seconds to say, that would also technically count.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
it wasn't really tricking God. It was more taking advantage of the system. Meaning, and Hashem overrode Bilam, as we saw. He never once got angry during this whole time for that very reason, right?
But the argument is that if he could have caught him at the right moment,
right, then he would have been able to curse us.
He could have duped God.
Correct.
Doing something
it's not.
No, it's like there. Certain times, Shara Shemayim are open.
Yeah,
to
yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I would call it duped. I'm not sure.
To destruction of Israel.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if duped is the right word. I mean, there's a system built into place that God gets angry at a certain point. God himself was able to circumvent that system because he said, "I don't want you to curse Bnei Yisrael," right? So he didn't get angry once during that whole time frame, but built into the way the world is, right? There are actually multiple Gemaras like this. Like, for example, the Gemara Menachos says that even though a person is not technically obligated to wear tzitzis unless he wears a four-cornered garment, the Gemara says that if a person goes out of his way to put tzitzis on, it will protect you at the time when Hashem gets angry. So there are methods to, stave off the anger of God that are kind of built into the system. But the point is that anger is built in. It's supposed to be there. Hashem, in this case, supernaturally decided to circumvent that anger. Okay. Okay. So yeah.
Yeah.
The same amount of time. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Okay. So now the Gemara has a story. The Gemara has a story based on what we just said. The Gemara says, "Hahu mina tahava b'shivivusei de Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi have a kubitzarily tuva b'kred." There was a certain min and an apikores who lived in the town of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. He used to bother him a lot with psukim. He used to, pose contradictions and question the religion and all that stuff. So Yomachad, so the Gemara says, Yomachad, one day, Shakal Tarnagola, so Rabbi Yoshua took a rooster, va'okmei bin kari da'arsa va'ayinbe. He tied it between the bedposts, and he was staring at the rooster. Savar, he thought, kimata hahishaita, Altiye, when that moment comes when God gets angry, which again you can tell because of the crest of the rooster's head when it's not red anymore, I'm going to curse this guy, this Apikoros, because he's been, you know, driving me crazy. So the Gemara says, Kimata hayishaita naim. When that moment came, he fell asleep. Amar shma mina lavorachar lemevad hachi. It's not normal for people to go and, you know, and curse other people, right? Because v'rachamola kol ma'asav k'siv u'k'siv gam anush la'tzadik lo tov, right? In other words, you have to have mercy on people, and it's not appropriate for a person, for a tzaddik to punish other people. And the Gemara says, Tana mishmei de Rabbi Meir v'shah shahachama zorachas v'chol malchik mizrach u'marav manichim kisrayim b'rashayim u'mishtachav imlechama miyad koyes ha-kadosh baruch hu. So Rabbi Meir is explaining why it is that God specifically gets angry in the morning, because that's the time when people are bowing and worshiping the sun. So that's when God's anger flares up. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Yishim Rabbi Yosi. Tova mardus achas belibo shel adam yoser mikama malkiyos. Shenemar v'ridifa es me'ahaveha v'amira eilecha v'ashuva el ishi harishon ki tov li'az me'ata. So the Gemara says that one mardus, which again, there's a little bit of a discussion about how to translate this exactly. So the simple explanation, I think, of mardus achas belibo means that when a person, you know, basically subjugates himself to God, that can have more of an impact than, you know, getting beaten up and getting whipped and lashed and punished. Basically, if you decide consciously that I'm going to worship God, you don't need the, you know, incentive of being beat up to, you know, or being forced to worship him. And the Gemara takes us even a step further. V'reish Lakish amar yoser mimea malkiyos. Shenemar teichas ge'ara ba'mevin mehakos k'sil mea. V'reish Lakish, based on a pasuk in Mishlei, says that deciding to worship God on your own is even more effective than being whipped 100 times. In other words, no amount of punishment is to get a person to actually worship God. You have to want to do it on your own accord. Moshe requested three things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that were granted to him. First, he asked that God's presence, that the Shekhinah reside on the Jewish people, right? And then number two, he also requested that God's presence daf could not reside on the other nations, on the Ovdei Kochavim. And then finally, he also requested to know the ways of God. Now we'll see in a second that, you know, maybe Hashem didn't fully reveal his ways to Moshe, but at least he gave him a glimpse. So Amar Lefan of Ribono Shalom, this is like the most famous question that's ever been asked, right? This is what we call theodicy, right? Why do good things happen to bad people and vice versa? So Amar Lo Moshe, Tzadik Vitovlo, Tzadik Ben Tzadik, Tzadik Viralo, Tzadik Ben Rasha. Rasha v'tovlo, Rasha ben tzadik, Rasha v'ralo, Rasha ben Rasha. This sounds like a pretty straightforward answer. The Gemara is going to question this answer in a second, right? The Gemara says, oh, you know, basically, whether you're a tzaddik who gets, you know, if you're a good person where bad things happen to you, depends on you and depends on your father. So if you're a good person and your father was a bad person, you're going to get punished. And if you're bad and your father's good, you won't get punished. So the Gemara is very bothered by this. The Gemara says, Amar Mar, Tzadik Vitovlo, Tzadik Ben Tzadik, Tzadik Viralo, Tzadik Ben Rasha. Ini, is this really true? The Haksiv, the Pasuk says, Pokeid Avonavos Albanim. On the one hand, the Pasuk says that, you know, that sons are held accountable for the iniquities and the sins of their fathers. Uchsiv, but the Pasuk also says in Parashas Kiteitse, Uvanim Lo Yumsu Al Avos, that you can't kill the sons for the sins of the fathers. So that sounds like a contradiction. Uramina Kraya Hadali. So that sounds, you know, we're posing a contradiction between two Tzukim. Umishanin, and how do we resolve this apparent contradiction? Lo Kash. The Gemara says that the difference is, if the sons are still following in the path of their fathers, then yes, they will also be punished for the sins of their fathers, but if they forsake the ways of their fathers, whether for good or for bad, then they're not held accountable anymore. So how can our Gemara say that a tzaddik ben Rasha is going to be punished? He left the ways of his fathers. The Gemara says, you're right. Ela haki kamar. This is what Hashem was telling Moshe. Tzaddik v'tovlo, tzaddik gamur. Tzadik viralo, tzadik she'ino gamer. Rasha v'tovlo, rasha she'ino gamer. Rasha viralo, rasha gamer. In other words, this has nothing to do with your father. It has to do with you. It has to do to what degree of a tzadik or rasha are you. And the Gemara points out, ufligo de Rabbi Meir. This Gemara that we just quoted is against Rabbi Meir. To Amar Rabbi Meir, shtayim nasnulo, viachas lo nasnulo, shene'emar v'chanosiyas asher achon, afa pi she'ino hagan, v'richamtiyas asher arachim, afa pi she'ino hagan. According to Rabbi Meir, Moshe was only granted two of the three requests that he asked, namely the third request of show me your ways, of was actually not fully granted to Moshe according to Rabbi Meir, because Hashem will sometimes show pity and mercy to people who don't necessarily deserve it, which is against the first thing we said. Because the first thing we said was, if you're a tzaddik gomer, then you're good. If you're a rasha gomer, then you're going to get punished. If you're somewhere in the middle, then you're going to get some kind of a punishment also. But according to Rabbi Meir, Hashem, it almost seems arbitrary. This guy is not a great guy, but Hashem is showing mercy to him anyway. So meaning Moshe was not privy to Hashem's secrets about the way that he runs the world. Okay, then the pasuk continues. It says, "Vayomer lo suchal roses panai." Right, Hashem says to Moshe, "No one can see my face and live." So Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Kach Amar le Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. This is what Hashem was reprimanding Moshe. Kisheratzisi lo ratzisa, achshuv sha'ato rotzi ini rotzah. So Moshe, beforehand, when I made an attempt to approach you, when originally at the snare, so you refused any connection with me. Now you're coming to me begging for a connection. I don't want to have a connection with you. So in other words, according to this version of the Gemara, Hashem is giving Musar to Moshe. However, upliga de Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni Amar Rabbi Yonasan, the Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni Amar Rabbi Yonasan, bischar shalosh zachal l'shalosh. Because of the three things that Moshe did, he was zochet to get three things. Namely,
it's not a very good answer. What's not a good answer? Tomorrow, guys, well, you didn't do this, so I didn't do this. That's how I go to somebody.
Well, yeah. Let me hammer.
Right?
You're saying it's Hashem. Hashem is being petty.
And then he comes to me. You should give him the hammer.
Well, okay.
That's a different
Gemara. I don't know if you could ask a question. I don't know if you could ask a question about Hashem.
Asking something.
Okay. So again, this version of the Gemara that we're seeing right now is gonna disagree with what we just said. So again, according to Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, because Moshe did the following three things, he merited three things. So the Gemara explains, Bischar vayaster Moshe panav zachal klaster panim, as a reward for Moshe turning his face away from the presence of Hashem by the tzneh, meaning he was showing God a certain amount of fear. Therefore, he merited having klaster panim when he came off of Har Sinai in the end of Parshas Kisisa. Pasuk says ki karan or panav, his light, his face was shining with light. So that was the first thing. Bischar ki yarei zachal levayiru migeshes elav, because he feared God, the Jewish people therefore feared to approach him at the end of Parshas Kisisa. And finally, bischar mehabit zachal leusmunas Hashem yabit, because he was too scared to look directly at God, therefore the Jewish people, later in Parshas Bahaloscha, he actually gets to talk to God directly. Moshe, we know, was the only Navi who was able to do that, to have a direct conversation with God. So according to Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, this was actually a positive thing. The fact that Moshe did not approach Hashem initially and just try to initiate a relationship with him is actually viewed in a positive light. According to the first version of the Gemara, it was a negative thing. Okay, then we said, "Vahasirosias kapi v'ra'isa sachorai." Hashem says, "I'm gonna put my hand over the cave, and you're only gonna see my back." So, Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Melamed Shehera Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Kesher Shel Tzemach. This is a pretty well known Gemara, right? Rashi Nechash quotes this idea that Hashem showed Moshe the knot on the back of his tefillin. Again, whatever that means, but basically he showed him the back of his head, which is probably an allusion to the fact that Moshe was not meant to understand the full scope of how God runs the world, but he was given a little bit of a taste. Okay, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosi called Dibur VeDibur Sheyatzem Mipi Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeTova Afilu Al Tanai Lo Chazembo. If God makes a positive declaration, He says something good will happen to you, even if that good thing is meant to only happen conditionally, if you do X, Y, and Z, even if that condition is not fulfilled, the good thing will still happen. Minalan Mimoshe Rabbi. We know that from Moshe Shenemar. It says in Parshas Kisisa Heref Mimeni VaAsh Midein VeEsa Usachol Goy Atzum. After God gets angry at the Jewish people for worshiping the Egel, He says to Moshe, I'm going to wipe out the Jews, and I'm going to start all over with you. You're going to become a great nation. So Afa Gavdi Ba Moshe Rachamei Ala Demilsa Ubatla. Even though Moshe davened and he successfully undermined the decree to wipe out the Jewish people after the Egel, Afilu Hachi Okba Bezare. Nonetheless, his descendants were still great. So the second half of what Hashem said, that I'm going to make you into a great nation, was still fulfilled by his descendants. Shenemar, it says in Divrei Hayamim, Bnei Moshe Gershom BeEliezer VaYehu Bnei Eliezer Rechavio Harosh Bnei Rechavio Ravu LaMala. It says that the sons of Rechavio, who were Moshe's grandchildren. Children, they grew exponentially. The Tani Rav Yosef Lamala Mishishim Ribo. There were more than 600,000 of them. Asya Revia. Ksiv Hacha Ravu Lamala. Ksiv Hasa Muvnei Yisrael Paruva Yishretzu Vayirbu. Which we know there were 600,000 Jews in the Mitzrayim. So that was the number of descendants that Moshe had. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Ben Yochai. Yom Shabara Hakadosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esa Olam, Lo Aya Adam Shekra'o La HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon, Ad Sheba Avram Ukra'o Adon Shenemar, Vayomar Hashem Elokim Bama Ida Ki Yir Hashem. Right, it's also pretty famous Gemara, that Avram was the first person to refer to Hashem as Adon, as opposed to simply Yudke Vavke, right? Because Yudke Vavke implies that Hashem is the God over the world, you know, in terms of the existence of the world, whereas Adon, right, that name implies that God has, you know, he's a Baal HaYecholas, he has strength, he has power. That name was only first stated by Avram. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Avdani Elonana Ela Bishul Avram, Shenemar, V'ata Shema Elokeinu Atfilas Avdechav Yaltacha Nuna V'ha'er Panecha Al Mikdashecha Hashemim L'man Hashem, L'man Chami Ba'ilei. So we know also Rav points out that Daniel was only answered by Hashem when he was in the lion's den because he invoked that name of God that Avram himself said. We actually say this pasuk in the long talk on Mondays and Thursdays, right? It says now basically Daniel asked Hashem to listen, you know, to listen to my tefillah, and it says Lamancha Hashem. So the Gemara asks, why didn't you just say Lamancha? He's talking to Hashem directly. Just say, you know, save me from the lions then for your sake. So the Gemara says, no, the answer is because he's invoking that name of God that Avram himself invoked. We actually quoted this exact Gemara back on Amud Aleph, but the Gemara is quoting it again because it's mentioned by the same Amor that the Gemara keeps on quoting here. We know, of course, Leah was the first person to thank Hashem, because after Yehuda was born, she knew that she had more than her share, that she was given more than she deserved. Because we know Rashi quotes this from Chumash, right? That the Imahus knew that they were only, that, you know, that Yaakov would only have 12 children, and they just assumed that they would, you know, it would be a division of, you know, it would be three for each of them. Once she had more than her lot, so she then thanked Hashem. The Marsha and some of the unfortunately, I have an interesting point to point out that if you look at Megillah, the Gemara Megillah lists the 48 Nevi'im and the 7 Nevi'os, and Leah does not appear on that list. And yet, you see from here that Leah seemed to have Nevuah. She seemed to know that Yaakov was destined to only have 12 children. And she points out, and he points out also that Rivka, right? Rivka is able to somehow figure out the whole story with Esau stealing the brachos. And also at the end of Parshas Toldos, when she tells Yitzchak, Lama eshkal gam shneichem yom echad, why should I lose them both on the same day? So Rashi quotes on the Gemara in Sota that she was prophesying about the future, that ultimately Yaakov and Esau, even though Yaakov died earlier, but Esau, you know, Chushim Edan kills Esau, and they both get buried on the same day. But Rivka is also not one of the Nevi'os. So how did she have prophecy? How did Leah have prophecy? So the Marsha says that they weren't Nevi'os, but God put prophecy into their mouth. And he quotes a parallel to this. We saw finally after during the Akedah, when Avraham says to Yishmael and Eliezer, "Va'ani va'anar neil chargo v'nishtacha ve'v'nashuva aleichem." So Avraham thought he was going to slaughter Yitzchak. How did he say, "I'm going to come back with Yitzchak"? The answer is that Hashem put those words into his mouth. So you don't have to be a Navi or a Nevi'ah to say words that God puts
so
into your
just
mouth.
A vessel.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
A mechanical vessel.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Rivka's statement that I lose them both on the same day. So I guess I've been wrong my whole life. I always thought that meant that Esau was going to kill Yaakov when Yitzchak died.
I think that's probably the simple explanation of the pasuk.
Okay.
But Rashi quotes from the Gemara and Sota that she was prophesying about the future. Okay. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Ruvain, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Leah, Re'uma ben Beni Leven Chami. So, what, in other words, the Gemara is now explaining why Leah's first child was called Ruvain. Ruvain is a contraction of Re'ubain. Look at the difference between my son and Esau, right? He says, De'ilu ben Chami, Afagav demidaite zavne livchi rusei dechsev vayim kores b'chor rasol Yaakov, chazu maksev be'vayistom Esau ves Yaakov, uchsev vayomer hachi karashimo Yaakov, Yaakov eni zefa mayim. Esau willingly sold the b'chor to Yaakov, and yet he still wanted to kill Yaakov. He still hated Yaakov as a result. The ilu b'ni afagav dal karchi shak le'yosef livchei rusei minei, dechsev uchal lo yitzuei aviv, nina b'chorasu livnei Yosef, afilu achi lo akne bei, dechsev vayishma Ruvain vayatzilehu mi'adam. Even though Ruvain forcibly lost the Bechorah, at least to a certain extent, to Yosef, because of what he did with the beds with Bilhah and Parshas Vayishlach. So he says, even though he forcibly lost the Bechorah, not only did he not hate Yosef, but he actually tried to save Yosef's life. That was the whole story, right, from Parshas Vayishlach. Then the Gemara says, what about Rus? My Rus, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shezachsa v'yatsa mimena David, Sherizeu l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'shiros v'sishbachos. So she merited have a child like or a descendant like David HaMelech, who was Rivei, who soothed, you know, God with Shiros HaSishbacha. So Menalan Dishmagarim, from where do we know that a person's name can impact who they are, can, you know, have something to do with their essence? Amar Rabbi Eliezer de Amar Krad says, L'chu chazu mif'alos Hashem, asher sam shamos ba'aretz, al tikre shamos el shemos. The simple reading of the pasuk is that see the wonders of God that make shamos ba'aretz, that make the world desolate. So the Gemara says, don't read it as desolate, but rather as shemos, that a person's name can oftentimes be reflective of who that person is. And the truth is that Tosos, in a number of places in Shas, makes this point that, for example, I think the most famous example of this, the Gemara in Yuma describes that the family of Ben Aftinas, they knew this like trade secret about how to make the Ketores, and some families knew how to write the Shem Hashem with, you know, their four fingers at the same time, and they refused to share those secrets with anybody else. And the Gemara says about those people, Shem Rishaim Yirka, that their name should not, because they were, you know, holding all these secrets for themselves. And Tosos will often point out that whenever you find the name of an Amor, which we're actually going to see on this daf in a few minutes, where their names don't sound like names of good people. Like, for example, we'll see this in the Gemara, there was a guy whose name, an Amora, whose name was Avishalom. So there's different girsas if it should be Avshalom or Avishalom. So we often tend to change the girsa in a positive light. Or for example, in Megillah, there's an Amora whose name is Rabba bar Ufron or Ephron. There's different girsas. So Tosos will always err on the side of changing his name to something which isn't the name of a Rasha. Now the question becomes, is like, what if you have a guy, you know, a wicked person whose name is Avraham? Like, you're going to now ban people? Like, obviously you have to draw a line somewhere, but if there's a person in Tanakh who is exclusively a wicked person and that name is never used in a positive sense at all, then, you know, generally speaking, you're not supposed to name your kids after, you know, Esav and Nimrod and, you know, whatever.
Nimrod
all these people. Yeah, I actually have a friend in Nimrod.
Well, they say he did say Tshuva, so.
I mean, I don't know too many people. Yeah, I mean, Yishmael, there was an Amora, Rabbi Yishmael.
Nobody today is named.
I don't know anyone named Yishmael, but there was an Amora. There was an
Yeah.
I'm sure. Okay. I'm saying Rabbi Yishmael is all over the Gemara, but okay. Okay. Basically, the Gemara says that a tarbus ra, a bad influence in your house, has more of a negative effect than Armageddon, than Melchemes Gogu Magog, you know, the war at the end of days. And the Gemara's diuk to point this out is that in the context of, you know, having a bad person around, in this case Avshalom, the pasuk says Hashem marabu tzarai. David HaMelech is bemoaning the fact that he's overcome with sorrows, with burdens, and yet in the context of Gog u'Magog, all it says is, why are all these nations ganging up on me? And it doesn't say, you know, how overbearing and distressing it is, implying that having this bad influence is even worse. So now the Gemara, you know, continues with that pasuk. Mizmor le David bevarchom ibnei Avshalom beno, asks the Gemara, Mizmor le David, kina le David mibayle. David is being pursued by his son to kill him. Why is he singing praises to God? He should be lamenting the fact that his son is trying to kill him. Amar Rabbi Shimon, and ironically, Ben Avishalom, right? We're talking about Avshalom here, and his name is either, as we said before, either Avshalom or Avishalom. Mashal Amad Dabar Dome, La'adam Sheyatza Alav Shtarchov, Kodem Sheprao Hayat Save, Liacher Sheprao Sameach. Right? If a person has a bill of debt, if a person owes money, so he's very nervous about the fact that he has a debt to pay off. Once he pays off the debt, he feels happy. By the way, that line of reasoning actually comes up in the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara discusses issues of not doing business with non-Jews before their holidays, and one of the issues the Gemara discusses is letting a non-Jew pay off his debt right beforehand, because he's going to think he's God. So that issue comes up in that context. But anyway, the Gemara makes this comparison, and it says Afkin David Kevin Shamar Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hinani Mekim Alecha Ra Ami Beisecha Haya Atzev Amar Shema Evid O Mamzer Hu Delo Chayes Alai. David thought that after Hashem told him that some person is going to stand up and try to attack you, try to kill you, he thought it's going to be some, you know, an Evid, a Mamzer, someone who's not from his immediate family, who's not going to have any pity on him. But Kevin once he saw it was only his son, he's like, whatever, you know, I can handle my son, even though his son was still trying to kill him, which is not exactly the most ideal thing, but it was better than an outsider. That was his point. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Mutter lehisgaros bar Yishayim ba'olam hazeh, Shenemar, Ozvei Torah Yahalu Rasha, the Shomri Torah Yisgarubim. Person is permitted to incite, to start up, to instigate with a Rasha in this world. Tanya Nami Hachi, Rabbi Dustai Barab Matun Omer, Mutter Lehiskaris Barashan Bolamazesh, Shenemar Ozvei Torah Yahalu Rasha. The Imlach Shecha Adam Lomar, if a person is going to whisper into your ear and say, V'haksiv Al Tischar Bamareyam Al Tekani Ba'usei Avla, doesn't the Pasuk in Mishlei say, don't start up with people who are wicked? So what are you doing inciting a Rasha? Mara says, no, Mishel Libo Nokfa Omer Kain. That, no, if a person quotes his Pasuk to you, it's because his heart is palpitating. It's because he's not confident in his own merits. He doesn't really believe that he's a tzaddik. Ella, Al Tischar Bamareyam, Lihios Kamareyam. Al Tekani Ba'usei Avla, Lihios Ka'usei Avla. V'omer Al Yikane Libacha Bachatuim, Kim Biras Hashem Kolayom. That pasuk just means don't emulate the evil people. It doesn't mean don't start up with them. In fact, in this case, the Gemara assumes that you're supposed to start up with them. So asks the Gemara, "Ini, is that really true that you're supposed to start up with a Rasha?" The Ha'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Imra Isa Rasha Shasha Misachekes Lalat Iskarevo Shenemar Yachilu Drachav Becholis. If you see that a Rasha is successful, don't start up with him because the pasuk says that he's going to be successful. The Lowod Elisha Zuka Badin Shenemar Marom Mishpatecha Minagdo. Not only that, he will overpower you in din. The Lowod Elisha Roa Bitzar. He will see the downfall of his enemy. So basically, the Gemara says it's not a good idea to start up with the Rasha. So the Gemara says, no, lo kashya, ha b'mili didei, ha b'mili dishmai. So the first answer the Gemara gives, the first distinction between whether you're not to start up with the Rasha, it depends what the Rasha is doing. If he's directing his anger, his vitriol against you, then you should just let it slide. But if he's directing it against God, then you have to stand up no matter what. That's answer number one. V'iba yaseima ha v'ha b'mili dishmai, or maybe both cases are where he's directing his anger against God. V'lo kashya ha b'rasha shahasham esacheches lo, ha b'rasha. So it depends how well off the Rasha is. If the Rasha, is Shom Esachekes, well, everything's going great for him, then even if he's going against God, you should stay away from him. If things are not so great for him and he's fighting against God, then you can incite him. That's the answer number two. V'iba Yisema, answer number three. Hav v'hav b'Rasha Shom Esachekes. So in both cases, we're talking about a Rasha where things are good for him. V'lo kashya, hav b'tzadik gomer, hav b'tzadik she'eino gomer. Depends on you. Depends how much of a tzadik you are. To Amar Rav Huna, Mai Dichsev, Lama Sabit Bogdim Tacharish B'Vala Rasha Tzadik Mimenu. It's a pasuk from Chavakuk. Why do you look on as the Rasha swallows one who is more righteous than him? So the Gemara says, "V'chi Rasha bolei atzadik." Uchsev Hashem lo yazvenu biyado. Uchsev lo yunel atzadik kolavin. What do you mean? How could a Rasha swallow or overpower the tzadik? The pasuk says that Hashem does not allow a tzadik to be overtaken by the Rasha. The Gemara says, "No, el tzadik mimenu boleya tzadik gomer eno bolei." The Gemara says, "No, that a Rasha can only overpower someone who is merely more righteous than him. But if someone is a tzadik gomer, he's completely righteous, then the Rasha can't touch him." And then finally, the Gemara says, "V'ibay yisema shav misacheches lo shayni." The fourth answer in the Gemara is that if things are good for the Rasha, then under no circumstances should you start up with him. Whether you're a tzadik gomer, whether he's attacking God, it doesn't matter. And the Gemara's fourth answer is never start up with the Rasha when things are good for him. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai kol akovei makom usfilaso oivav noflin tachtav shenemar v'samti makom liamili Yisrael untatev v'shalchan tachtav v'lo yirgazod v'lo yosifu v'nei avlo la'anoso kasher barishona. If a person has a makom kavua for his tefila, now we actually spoke about this on earlier daf about if you have a makom kavua, the Gemara said that Elokei Avraham be'ezra, the God of Avraham will help you. Here the Gemara says that if you have a makom kavua, all of your enemies are gonna fall away. And the Gemara says Rav Huna Rame Ksiv la'anoso Ksiv l'chaloso Bischilo le'anoso Ulevisof l'chaloso. So Rav Huna contrasted these psukim from Sefer Shmuel and Sefer Divrei Hayamim. He says that initially when the Beis Hamikdash was first built, it was built on the condition not to in other words, that our enemies were not able to afflict us. But then by the end, once we were doing Aviro, so then it was Lechaloso, that they were able to attack us. Okay, then the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Vam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Gedola Shimusha Shel Torah Yoser Milimuda, Shenemar Po Elisha Ben Shafat Asher Yotzak Maim Al Adei Eliyahu, Lamad Lo Nemar El Yotzak, Malamish Shegedola Shimusha Yoser Milimuda. There's an idea that being Mishamish, that serving, or being by a Talmud Chacham, has more impact than simply learning from him, because as many Mefarshim point out, when you learn from a Talmud Chacham, so oftentimes maybe he's going to teach you something which is arcane, maybe doesn't necessarily apply to your life. When you watch the way that he lives, so you could actually glean something from a practical standpoint. Then the Gemara says, "Amar li Rabbi Yitzchak l'Rav Nachman, my time alois emar levei kinishter letzaluye. Why didn't you show up to shul for davening today?" He was like very nosy. So Amar lei lo yachilna. I was too weak to make it to shul. So Amar lei, okay, lichnefei l'mara sarav elitzet. Why didn't you gather a minion in your house and we'll daven in your house. So I'm like, no, tricholimosa. It's too much of a tircha for me to do that. The lema lemar leshlucha de tzibura beimna dematzle tzibura leisei velo de lemar. Well, at the very least, you should be informed about when the chazan is davening shmona esrei, about when the shul is davening. So Amar le my kula hay says, well, you know, why do I have to go so far out of my way to do this? Amar le Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai my dechsev anis fila silacha Hashem eis ratzon emasai eis ratzon v'shar shatzimur mispalin. Right. So in other words, even if you can't be in shul, you should at least be davening at the time that the people in shul are davening. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin Amar Mehacha ko Amar Hashem beis ratzon inisicha. Hashem says I'm going to respond to you at a time of will at an eis ratzon. Rabbi Achab Rabbi Chanin Amar Mehacha hin kel kabir v'lo yemas uchsev padav v'shalom nafshim mikiravli ki v'rabim hayu imadi. That when you're davening barabim, Hashem does not despise your tefila. Tanya Amiachi, Rabbi Nasan Omer Minayin Shein Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moeis Besfilas and Sharabim. Where do we know that Hashem does not despise the tefila of the rabim? Shenemar Hin Kel Kabir V'lo Yemas Uchsev Padav Shalom Nashi Mikaravli. Right. So again, Hashem does not despise the tefila of the rabim. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kol Ausik B'Torah V'Dmilas Chasadim U'Mispalu Matzibor Malani Alav Kiilu Pedaani Liv Elavanai Mibein Umos Olam. A person, you know, does Torah and Chesed, they daven with the minion, they daven Matzibor. Hashem views it as if He redeemed him and the Jewish people from Galus, from the Umos Olam.
Right.